Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com. As I've told you many times, it is all new as of April 30th, and I encourage you to go there today. It's more of a what we call a portal as opposed to just a simple website. It's got everything you need to make the process of buying and selling any kind of real estate a much more pleasant and easy experience. HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, all across upstate, and even out to Phoenix, Arizona, and now east to Boston, Massachusetts. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Call Hunt Mortgage today at 633-3700 and ask one of our skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs and wants. And ask about one of our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk, all you have to do is call, to enter the market to find your next home effectively with cash. And in today's market where you've got a lot of competition for very, very limited inventory today, probably the lowest inventory that we've seen in a long time nationwide. And just to give you a little perspective on it, the inventory today is about the same as it was in this country in 1990. That's a long time ago. At that point in time, there were 60 million fewer Americans than there are today. There's no less of a homeownership interest today than there was in 1990. So that obviously puts great pressure on the inventory today. So when you go into that market, you want to make sure that you are highly competitive. And if you don't happen to have all the cash lying around, the next best thing is a pre-purchase commitment, which effectively to a seller is exactly the same as cash. Only at Hunt Mortgage, 633-3700, and ask for that personalized, you're going to get it anyway, personalized, customized, knock your socks off service. And check out that low rate and closing cost guarantee as well. And don't forget about the first ever 24/7 365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed for sale, not just here in Buffalo, Niagara, but all across upstate and even out to Phoenix, Arizona. There's a local number for each one of our regions, but here in Buffalo, Niagara, it's 716-631-4800. All you have to do is enter the street number of the house you want to know about. You'll be prompted, no matter whose listing it is, and the hotline will then prompt you with a choice of street name. Select the one you want. You'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that particular property all automatically and just that fast. Anytime, in any market we serve, on any listing, whether it's ours or any of the brokers, you'll drive by a sign and you'll see four riders on it and a picture and 19 phone numbers and websites and text this and text that. Forget all that, 716-631-4800, no matter whose listing it is, and you'll get all the information you need. We are in a very active market, as I mentioned earlier, and it may never be a better time than right now to consider selling your home, even if you're not too sure where you want to go. And that's because of a lot of things going on, but some of the stuff that's going on is really in the field of expertise of my guest here in the studio today. But before we get to that, I want to remind our listeners that Hunt is the official real estate and relocation provider for our hometown professional teams, the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Sabres, and even the Rochester Americans. We also are big supporters of the Buffalo Bisons, and I'm sure they're playing, I don't know if they're playing this weekend, but anyway, you want to check it out. It's always a lot of fun. We are broadcast live at WBN 930 AM, and if you'd like to participate in today's show, all you have to do is call us here in the studio at 803-0930 or 1-800-616-9236 if you're long distance, and star 930 if you're mobile. Those are all free calls, so call us with your questions or comments. We have a very special show for you today. In the studio with me today is Rocco Termini. Mr. Termini is the president of Signature Development Buffalo LLC. Good morning, Rocco.
Good morning, Peter.
It's good to have you back.
Nice to be back.
It's been a while. But before we get into all the projects you're working on, and I've got a list here I want to ask you about, tell us a little bit about how you got into the development business. You weren't always a developer.
No, I wasn't. And about 20 years ago, I looked at what was going on in other cities, and I didn't see it going on in Buffalo. And at that time, the mayor was Mayor Masiello. And I went to him and said, hey, look, I think we can do some of the things that are going on in other cities, but we're going to need a little push. And he basically said, what kind of a push you need? I described it to him, and he said, let's get started. And that's how it all started.
What was that push?
We needed to cover a gap in financing. Back then, especially back then, rents in Buffalo were very, very low. They've really crept up over the last 20 years. But back then, you know, you were getting $800 for an apartment, and that was the top of the market.
I can remember. So how do you fill the gap?
Well, we were able to get money from New York State with the help of the mayor through New York State Housing Finance Agency. They gave us $1 million, a 1% interest only loan. And then the mayor gave us, with no cost, a parking lot that was behind the animal shelter. And that was what we used for parking for the first apartments, which were Ellicott Lofts. And at the time, parking was very important. You know, downtown had a bad reputation. It wasn't safe. There was no parking. So we had to put in fenced-in, gated parking, which people felt more comfortable, the first people coming downtown.
In those years, as you know, Buffalo Place was emerging as a power in the whole kind of coordination of what was going on in the Main Street corridor. And that was following kind of a dark period in that particular geography because of the fact that we put this rapid transit system in basically and destroyed all the retail in downtown Buffalo. There was also simultaneously growth of suburban retail, suburban housing, et cetera, so that the downtown had gone the wrong way for a long time. Your timing about 20 years ago is not an accident. It was obviously you saw what was going on elsewhere in the country. How far behind had we fallen, and what how much have we caught up, would you say, in that period of time?
I think we were probably 10 years behind, 10 to 15 years behind what other areas were doing. I still think we're behind, but not on housing. I think we've caught up on housing, but we're behind in creating cool spaces for development of startup companies and software development companies. Those are companies that are really looking for cool spaces, and we still haven't caught up with what other cities are doing.
The other side of that coolness factor is the arts and music community, frankly. And I saw special on television this morning about music in Buffalo, and there's a lot more going on than people know about. But if you look at kind of that coolness factor, which is really the psychological, at least in my mind, the psychological measure of whether we've turned the corner, we've got a lot of good things going along those lines. But you're right, there's a significant need for kind of incubator space and places where businesses can collaborate inexpensively to get off the ground. And you, for example, things like 43 North, is that what you have in mind, or that kind of thing, attracting businesses that have some new concept or some potential business plan that might be revolutionary?
Well, we're redeveloping right now Chandler Street. And Chandler Street is part of Startup New York. And all the buildings on that street are part of a startup program. And we have very cool spaces, high ceilings, big windows, brick walls. We have software development companies. We have two buildings that are called Foodie that are all food incubators. But what we're trying to do is create jobs and to keep young people in Buffalo. And one of the things that it's so difficult in Buffalo to do, and M&T has said this just last week, it's very difficult to attract software developers to Buffalo because millennials are not only looking for money, they're looking for comforts. And they want to be in cool spaces. They want to be able to come and go as they please. And we don't have a lot of those type of spaces in Buffalo. And that's what we're trying to create on Chandler Street, spaces where we can get young people to come to Buffalo and the people that are here to stay in Buffalo.
And what you're saying, I believe to be true. Yet at the same time, you've got M&T making the announcement that they're going to go into what is generally considered a not very cool space. the former HSBC tower, in a very big way.
Yes, but they're creating clubhouses outside of the building where the employees will be able to go during the day, and they're going to have some cool features in the building. Mm-hmm. And part of the space that they're going in is the new wing that they're putting on, and that's going to be designed to look in the interior like it was an older building.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about, just to touch on that building for a second, the apartments that are going in there are small. And what do you think about the demand for spaces like that?
I think everything is price sensitive, Peter. And, you know, a big apartment costs a lot more money. And there's not a lot of people in Buffalo that can afford the $2,500 a month apartment. Mm-hmm. The market is like a pyramid. At the base of that pyramid is where most people can afford to pay, which is $1,200 to $1,300 a month. Once you get over that, the market gets smaller.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, you're quite sensitive to that. Let's talk about some of the projects that you have completed and where they are relative to the market as you just described it. You mentioned the Ellicott Lofts. I believe that was the first project, correct?
Correct.
And then obviously there's Ellicott Commons, Oak School Lofts, the web building, A&A's Warehouse Lofts, Distillery Lofts, the Hotel Lafayette. I know I'm missing something there. But you've done... How do you, I guess, plan out to bring X number of units to market? Is there a grand plan in Rocco Termini's head, or is it just, or do you review deals and is it as deals appear?
Well, I like to look at areas where nobody else has been, because the real estate still is reasonably priced, and if I can buy a reasonably priced piece of real estate, then I could put in reasonably priced apartments. And I think that is what we need a lot more of, is reasonably priced apartments. So I moved from downtown because I saw prices really going skyrocketing in the cost of buildings. Building that 10 years ago you would pay $10 a square foot for, all of a sudden we're going for $50 a square foot.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved to Black Rock, Riverside, and we did the Arco Lofts on Elmwood near Hurdle. We did the Foundry Lofts, the old FWS. We did the Hauk Lofts on Grote Street. And when I built those on Grote Street, somebody said, you'll never in 100, nobody will come to Grote Street and pay you $1,200 a month. I said, well, you know, it's only 500 feet from Elmwood. Maybe they'll come. And they're there. And now we've bought seven buildings on Chandler Street. And we're going to redevelop the whole street. And a year ago when I was interviewed by Channel 2, they said we had a tough time finding Chandler Street. I said, nobody knows where Chandler Street is today. But in a year, everyone will know where Chandler Street is. And last night, we opened up a brewery. Of course, there, Thin Man and Topo Pizza. We had at least 400 people on our patio last night on Chandler Street.
Hmm.
You couldn't find a parking space. So everybody knows where Chandler Street is now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to create the environment down there so that we get millennials to work down there. And this is the type of features that they're looking for.
The concept of working where you live or living where you work is kind of ancient history when it comes to urban analysis. One of the things that we lacked for a long time in downtown Buffalo, and really even anywhere in the city, was a reasonable relationship between workplace and residence. Downtown, some people argue we're still 10,000 units short. If we really wanted to recreate downtown as the business center of town, how do you reconcile that if you believe that to be, or somewhat near true, how do you reconcile that with just what you're saying about the cost of entry to acquire a building and then convert it or to provide an adaptive reuse for that property?
Well, the problem with downtown is all the historic buildings that needed to be rehabbed and converted to housing are just about gone.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're getting into the second phase of development downtown, and that's new construction. And we're still not at the point of being able to build new apartments and being able to amortize that debt. There still is a great big gap.
In terms of the market rate that you could actually get for that apartment and the actual cost of bringing it to market.
Correct. So we need to really, the market has to react to that. And I don't think we're there yet. And without some type of incentive, I don't think we're going to get that new construction that everybody wants.
That will be relative to good paying jobs. What you were saying earlier about attracting high quality individuals, young people to this community, getting them to stay here because of the lifestyle and the other amenities that you've referred to here. But the key thing is a good job.
Right. And, you know, we have a software development company on Chandler Street. They started with me 15 years ago with three people, and they've grown, and they now have 130 people. And we had to do a report on the salaries of those people. And the average person working for that company today is making $75,000. That's the type of jobs that we need in Buffalo, and that's the type of real estate we need to develop to attract those type of jobs and those type of people.
Mm-hmm. Let's kind of walk through the human evolution of that kind of person that you're talking about there. They get a good job. It's an up-and-coming company. The company does well. The owners of the company do well. They see themselves progressing in their careers. They meet somebody. They perhaps start a household, get married, whatever. Start having kids. All of a sudden, now what do they do? That's the kind of customer we see very often. It's harder and harder to find them a single-family home in the city, so they look to the suburbs. It's the market in the suburbs becomes equally tight as a result. So we run into a situation where, in my mind anyways, these people become vulnerable to leaving town because all of a sudden their circumstances are much better than they perhaps had thought they would be. They'd like to participate in getting their own piece of the action, so to speak, in the real estate world so that they can sink their roots, send their kids to school, et cetera, et cetera. Yet they sometimes run up against a wall. And we're not alone there. I mean, San Francisco, young people have to leave because they can't afford an apartment even, much less buying a home. That's one end of the spectrum, and we want those people to stay. And so we want to create opportunities housing-wise, job-wise, for them to be able to stay here. Fast forward again, 20 years later, and all of a sudden they've put some money away and they're starting to, their career is peaking, let's say. One of the things that we run up against here in the state is, then what do they do? Where do they go? And oftentimes what I see is that people, and you know these people too, that they get to a point where they say, I can't afford to stay in Western New York. I love it here. It's been good to me. I've raised my kids here, blah, blah, blah. But now I've got to be concerned about, you know, the value of my estate and how I maintain my assets. We lose one of those people. And it takes, you know, how many at the other end of the spectrum to fill that gap? And this is a constant dilemma. I don't know if you recognize this or see this.
I do, and that's why on Chandler Street, the whole street is part of Startup New York. And every business and every employee of every business pay no New York State taxes for 10 years being part of the startup. But when you talk about people trying to get a house and being out of the market because they're so expensive, I think some of those people have to talk to people from other cities, and they will be told that Buffalo is still a bargain. No matter how high we think the price of houses are, we're still half of what every other city is. Buffalo is a bargain. We're just spoiled.
We are spoiled. But when we get spoiled, all of a sudden we start to look at ourselves differently. And this is what I see at the other end of that spectrum, age-wise and affluent-wise. And that's what concerns me, that we lose people at when they're young because they seek, you know, their opportunity in the world someplace, and we lose them again as they kind of go through the life cycle and they say, now is this a place where I want to risk, I guess, because of the taxation and business unfriendliness, I want to risk my assets here.
There's some advantages though. Those younger people that are having a tough time finding a house. They're developing neighborhoods now. They're going on Pennsylvania. They're going on Connecticut. Mm-hmm. They're going on a pocket on the west side that houses were very reasonably priced 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Today, you have some of those houses selling for $300,000. Mm-hmm. You have the same thing happening on in BlackRock, mm-hmm. where people are starting to buy those reasonably priced houses. And these are all young kids, mm-hmm. millennials. And they're fixing these houses up and turning around neighborhoods. So, yeah, there's some advantages to that because we're turning around neighborhoods that 10 years ago we would have never thought would have a chance to be turned around. And that's what's happening today. A lot of these young people are investing in neighborhoods.
And we interviewed a young man last week who was developing a project at the corner of Bird and Hoyt, exactly along the lines you're talking about. And all around that particular corner is exactly what you described.
Baines. I saw a house in the paper the other day that sold for $350,000 on Baines. Would you ever have thought that?
I certainly wouldn't have. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you that story later. But we'll be right back with more from our house to yours after these very important messages. Welcome back to our house. This is Peter Hunt, and this show is brought to you by the all-new huntrealestate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. Huntrealestate.com is the only place on the web where you can find a complete inventory of homes available not just here in Buffalo, Niagara, but all across upstate and even out to Phoenix, Arizona through a link and also to Boston, Massachusetts. And you'll find access to a complete set of homeownership services at huntrealestate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA. And this show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. And for more information about our many exclusive programs, including the one that allows you to roll the cost of home improvements into your mortgage, allowing you to effectively buy the before but live the after, all you have to do is call 633-3700 and ask for details, ask about our pre-purchase commitment, and even our warm home loan as well. That's a fun one. Call 633-3700 to find out today. We've been talking a little bit about this buy the before, live the after indirectly with my guest today, who is Rocco Termini, who's the president of Signature Development Buffalo LLC. And this is something that Rocco is, I guess, kind of near and dear to my heart because a lot of kids, young people today, myself, when I was that age, you look at a house and you say, gee, this is it's a cool house, you know, a lot of nice features to it, but how do I get from here to there? How do I make it habitable? You obviously are an expert in adaptive reuse, but even just reuse as it was originally designed is a complex problem for many people. This one financing plan I was talking about, buy the before, live the after, allows people to know what they're getting into, but a lot of people don't know. And they get sunk in these things, and you know sometimes they get in a little too deep. From a developer's perspective, how do you avoid that same thing happening on a larger scale? When you look at a building that, like Chandler Street, for example, I mean, those are industrial properties for the most part with, you know, environmental problems and everything else. How does someone in your position, how do you go from here to there? Where do you start?
Number one, we want to make sure that they qualify as historic structures because then we know that we can get the federal historic tax credit and the state historic tax credit. Then we want to do an environmental assessment. We want to see how contaminated these properties are and what's the cost of the remediation because there is brownfields tax credits available for that. Then we try and get new markets tax credits. And new markets tax credits are designed to create jobs in very depressed neighborhoods. And Chandler Street qualified as a depressed neighborhood. So we try to put together all the building blocks. And if we think we can put together all those building blocks, then we go ahead because those building blocks help us to pay for the extraordinary costs that we're going to encounter on developing something like this.
Each of those three steps involve what you describe as tax credits. In an earlier show, maybe it was a year ago or so, you were very succinctly described how exactly that works. Do that again, if you would, for us, because that was a very insightful set of comments.
Well, the federal historic tax credits and the state historic tax credits are 20% of your qualified expenses. So if you have $1 million project and your qualified expenses are $800,000, you're going to get $160,000 in federal tax credits and $160,000 in state tax credits.
So it's 160 times two.
Right. And then you have brownfields. Now, there are different brownfields. We are getting 40% of the cost of the environmental cleanup. And then you get 24% of the tangible personal property. And what that 24% is everything else in the building other than the environmental cleanup. You'll get 24%. So now you've got 20%, 20%, and 24%. Then we get new markets tax credits. Now, new markets tax credits will probably give you about 5%. So you got 20, 20, 24, and 5. So all of a sudden, you've got 69% of the cost of the project coming in the form of tax credits. That's what makes it possible.
So a tax credit is exactly what, and how do you monetize that?
A tax credit is a credit that can be used by anyone. So that we normally would go to banks and say, look, we've got $1 million worth of tax credits. We'll sell them to you for $920,000. And the banks say, that sounds like a pretty good deal to us. We'll buy those for $920,000. Now, it's a lot more complicated than that legally, because you have to have a setup where 99% of the building is owned by the bank and you're a master tenant. So it's a complicated legal and accounting procedures, but they're done every day, and you know, the attorneys and the accountants know how to do these things, and they're put together, and everybody's familiar with the process. So the bank's familiar with the process, the attorneys are familiar with the process, and then we proceed.
You were an accountant by training. Is that where you learned all this?
No, there weren't all these. When I was trained as an accountant long ago, they didn't have all this, but I've learned, and I'm able to read the law and interpret it because of my training.
That's very interesting. You know, I think this, what's evolved, as you know, is not a big circle of people that are knowledgeable enough in this area. You say lots of people know these things, but there really aren't. There's very few people that really understand everything that you just said.
Right, and it takes a long time. This is not some, you don't do this in 30 seconds.
Right.
I mean, it might take you a year, year and a half to get all the pieces put together.
In the meantime, do you start construction? Do you actually?
No.
So you don't start a thing till everything's all lined up?
Yes.
And that probably is obviously the prudent way to go. And that allows you then, in a cumulative sense, to bring the costs in line, net, 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 so that you can bring something to market that meets the market and produces a return to the investors.
Right. And, you know, a lot of these startups that we're bringing in, they can't afford to pay big rent. So when I say, $10 a square foot is probably the top that we're getting for turnkey space. And that's very cheap in Buffalo.
Let's go back to the parking issue. On Chandler Street, how important is that kind of thing? Do you have a ratio of square feet to parking?
It's very important. We have to put in another parking lot because of that. And, you know, you hear all this stuff about, oh, millennials don't drive. Don't believe it. Millennials all drive. Mm-hmm. And a recent study that was done by Bloomberg said that the only reason millennials don't have cars is because they're paying off their student loans and they can't afford a car. Once they can afford a car, the first thing they do is buy a car.
I saw a billboard the other day as I was in the state of Massachusetts. I saw a billboard. Where's the effect? What's more exciting than buying a car? And said, and there's a picture of the dealer says, not much. And I think that's true. We think that, and I know there's been arguments, for example, about the lot that has brought you into the press recently, that we have to get away from a total dependence on cars. I don't know if that's tomorrow or 10 years from now or 20 years from now. Who knows? It's like the evolution of the electric car. These are things that hopefully inevitably will happen sometime. But in the meantime, people have to get from place to place.
Right. And, you know, Buffalo is always 20 years behind the curve. So what might be happening in other cities is a long way off. Just recently, they reported that the ridership on public transportation was down 11%.
Right.
So where's the trend? If you could show me the trend. I was at Wegmans the other day. I dropped my wife, and she said, I just got to run off. And I waited in the parking lot for her. And I watched the car circle for 5 minutes so they can park 10 feet from the door instead of 50 feet from the door. That's the mentality of Buffalo.
I was on the New York State Thruway and the Mass Pike in the last couple days, and you would have thought they were giving something away somewhere along the way because it was jam-packed. Every service area we stopped at was, if they're getting away from cars, I don't know how they're getting away from them, because I never saw more cars on the road in my life than the last few days. So this is something that's not going to change overnight. Hopefully, through technology and through the way that we people behave and live, that will change. But in the meantime, we've got to do something about helping people to get their car off the street, to find a place close to the door where they can park their car.
You said the magic word, close. The city's new philosophy is that people will park down near the arena, Key Bank Arena, and they will take a train for half a mile to their job if the parking down there is inexpensive. But I wouldn't want to do that in December, January, and February. It might be fine for June or July.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that works in Buffalo.
How is Buffalo Place and how is the city of Buffalo in terms of the parking bureau? How are they handling all this? How are they starting to, how do they weigh it? Or do they just look at the trends and say, we've got to be ahead of the trends?
I don't think there's a plan. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
We need a plan. And just to say that people are going to use public transportation and people are going to be willing to park a half a mile away from their job, that's not a plan.
Well, we do know one thing for residential use specifically, particularly the more concentrated location, urban, let's say, that the value of the parking spaces goes up significantly as concentration of humanity gets greater. Look at New York City. I know what my kids are paying for a parking space, for example. It's shocking. It's more than what they might pay in rent in a city like Buffalo. So it's not something that's going to go away overnight. And we're not going to wish it away because Uber is growing or whatever the case might be. And if you look at the performance of companies like Uber and public markets and Lyft, it doesn't exactly bode well for them going down the road.
No, none of them are making money. And you know, as an office building owner, it's difficult to get tenants unless you can provide them convenient parking. And if we can't provide convenient parking, people walk with their feet. They're going to go someplace else where there is convenient parking.
That's exactly why the evolution of the suburban office park, like the one we're in right now, took place over the last 30 years, really. We've got to go to break right now. Rocco Termini, if you'd like to participate in the show today, I'll remind you that you can reach us here in the studio at 803-0930 or 1-800-616-9236 if you're long distance, and star 930 if you're mobile. And if you want to text us, you can text us here at 30930. We'd love to hear your thoughts and comments about what we're talking about or anything else relative to real estate. And we'll be back with more from Our House to Yours after these important messages. Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new huntrealestate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, home of the pre-purchase commitment and the buy the before and live the after programs, and you'll want to contact them today. These are no obligation, no risk programs. To find out more, 633-3700. We have a very special show for you for our last 13 minutes or so. In the studio with me today is Rocco Termini. Mr. Termini is the president of Signature Development, LLC. Among the many projects that he's done are the Ellicott Lofts, the Ellicott Commons, Oaks Loft, Oat School Lofts, Webb Building, and most recently Chandler Street. And Chandler Street is really a series of buildings. How many buildings are there that you're working on?
Seven
buildings. And when we talk about signature development, it's not just Rocco Termini. You've got others involved. Do you work with a regular group of investors,
I don't work with investors. These are all my projects.
There's 100% Rocco Termini.
Yes.
This is all based on what you were talking about earlier in terms of the marketability of the tax credits, really, to provide cash, and then obviously there would be gap financing involved to finish the projects.
Some of the projects have no debt financing on it, just credits, and then equity. It all depends, the project, if it's a real startup like the Foodie, mm-hmm. it has no debt on it because you would never be able to get a bank to put debt into that kind of a project because the risk is so high.
Mm-hmm.
We're renting full kitchens, and the kitchens have a hood in them, walk-in coolers, they're FDA approved, a full kitchen for $900 a month.
Wow.
That's how you attract startups. You cannot charge big rents.
Are these ultimately restaurants?
Oh, they're not just restaurants. We have somebody who does charcuterie, somebody who makes cake pops. We have a mushroom grower. We have a candy maker. We have a fishmonger. So they're all different, very unique companies. They can't go to the next step. They want to all go to Wegmans or Tops, and you can't go there unless you have FDA-certified kitchens. And that's what we're providing them. And a lot of these...
To sell their things through Wegmans, they need an FDA-approved kitchen.
Right.
Prepare everything.
And we've done that with a company already that's Barrel and Brine. They sell kombucha and fermented products, and they're now in Wegmans. So all of these small companies are ready to take that next step, and they can't take it unless they're provided with the kind of facilities that are approved by the supermarkets and the FDA.
So if I'm a retail consumer of these items, can I go there and buy them there, or do I have to go through another retailer like Wegmans, let's say?
For the most part, you're going to have to go through Wegmans. It's manufacturing space.
So this space is not open to the public?
No.
So these are private spaces that they rent from you to do their thing, and then they take their products and market them.
Correct.
It's interesting. So you've got the Foodie component. What are the other components there on Chandler Street?
Well, we have a brewery. We have a company that is hiring 3 people a month. They make Invisalign braces with 3D printers. It's really new technology. The dentist will send the file over the internet to them, and then they make the braces and send them back to the dentist the next day. All done with 3D printers.
Wow.
So there's very interesting companies that we have, the companies that nobody in Buffalo even knows exist.
So this is an eclectic collection. It's not just one type of business.
No.
or a couple different types of business.
No.
So when someone approaches you or you approach someone, obviously you look at the viability of the business or the concept or whatever, but how do you assess whether or not you're going to give somebody a break, an opportunity to open in your space?
It all depends.
They may have no assets.
Most of them have no assets, and that's why the risk is so high, and that's why the equity from the tax credits is so important. Because this is work that government should be doing. And in place of government, I'm doing it.
Well, I'm not so sure government should be doing it. I think they're much better off providing these tax credits to people like you that can actually use some private ingenuity and to create something that will have some demand. I don't think that necessarily, this is my own opinion, that the government would be any better at it or perhaps much worse at it than you are.
Well, I agree with you there. They should be providing some funding for projects like this.
Funding, yes. Well, aren't they effectively doing that through tax credits?
Yes, I guess you could say that.
Well, obviously, if you can monetize it, it's technically funding them, right?
Right?
So that, well, I guess that helps out a little bit. So how far along are you on Chandler Street, and what's next for Rocco Termini?
We're about to finish our fourth building next month. And then we'll be doing, we're doing a pool club on Chandler Street.
A pool club?
A pool club.
Well, describe that.
It's a, just like you heard, it's an outside pool that will be a pool club. And again, it's designed for a lot of the millennials that are going to be working there, and it's designed to draw people to the street.
So the pool club will be membership kind of thing? Is that what
you're
saying?
A membership thing.
Now, will you have that as part of your tenancy?
Yes, I will. And it's another, we have space there now for Frisbee. We have a bocce league every Wednesday. We have five bocce courts. Again, we're trying to attract people to the street, a street that nobody ever heard of. And all of these things bring people. You come on Wednesday, there's 100 people in playing bocce.
This is what we refer to as lifestyle center, really. Just tell me how many square feet total will be there, and what do you expect to be the occupancy in terms of number of people that will actually be working there?
By the time we get done, we'll have over 200,000 square feet, and there'll be at least 1,100 people working there.
Wow.
On a street that was totally abandoned 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. There was the fire, the Niagara Lupkin fire, which destroyed.
There was a lot of fires there. There was a belt company fire there. The Lindy plant was on fire. Bakery Salvage was on fire, and they all burned down.
The environmental issues must have been enormous, and I know that at the time, Senator Schumer was up in arms about how this was going to be paid for, the cleanup, et cetera. How did that all shake out?
Well, just for example, 155 Chandler, where we have it's an 80,000 square foot building, the environmental cleanup in that building was $1.5 million. And the PCBs were so high in the soil, they were shipped to Mississippi. So you can imagine the cost of putting it on a truck and shipping everything to Mississippi.
How in the world did you get through that? I mean, realistically speaking, is that through the environmental assessment, the brownfield tax credit?
That was what saved us.
And so how long did that process take?
It took us 6 months to clean up the building, because not only was there contamination on the outside of the building, it was in the inside of the building. There was contamination with asbestos. We had to remove all the concrete floors in the building and dig up all the soil that was underneath those concrete floors, replace it, and then pour new floors.
Wow. So you've got 4 of 7 buildings fundamentally complete. You've got the pool club, you've got bocce courts, et cetera. What's the time frame for the other three?
I think we'll be completed on that street within 2 years.
And then, so now we're 2021. I'm sure you're not sleeping every night wondering, you know, just that you're done. What's the next horizon? I had Jake Schneider on. He was talking about how he went from downtown to South Buffalo, and you've described how you went from downtown to obviously off of Elmwood and First of all, Foundry and other projects that might have been determined to be high risk at that time. What spot do you look at now and say that's the next opportunity?
I think there's a lot of spots in Black Rock that still need to be done, and that's where I'm looking.
Interesting.
I want to create the critical mass there. And if you look on Amherst Street now, you'll see that every storefront on Amherst is full.
Mm-hmm.
The community there is growing.
What do you say to those people that say you're crowding them out, the people that have been there for generations, let's say, and living? And that's their neighborhood. What do you say to that? Because this is the other side of the coin that I hear about from time to time. I'm getting pushed out of my neighborhood.
Well, I have to tell you a quick story. I was at a political fundraiser for the councilman in the district, and an older lady came up to me, and she gave me a big kiss. I didn't know who she was. She said, "Honey, you got me $10,000 more for my house than I ever expected to get." I said, "Well, then you need to give me half of it." So, I mean, there's some people that are happy that they're able to sell their houses and they've held their value and they're getting more than they expect. And then there's always the downside of those people that are getting forced out. It's part of the gentrification process. Mm-hmm. But which, I think we're a long way from that.
The gentrification process is a nasty term these days, as you know. And particularly we're seeing that on the east side, where properties that were $10,000 or $15,000 are now $115,000 and $130,000. And those people that sell them are saying, well, gee, this is found money. But the neighbor said, I'm getting pushed out. I don't want to move, and no matter how much it is. And so this is a kind of a clash of the past and the present. And it's never comfortable. It never works out perfectly. But it seems to me that the project that we had on last week about the loft project in what was a church, there was a lot of work with the neighbors done. And there wasn't one neighbor that voiced opposition to that project, which is really something new and different.
If the city wants to progress, they can't stay the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't stay the way it is, you may have to make changes. Nope. And you know, the bad word gentrification means change.
You know, the mayor is involved, as is the School of Architecture at UB, in an housing affordability project. And I met with the dean recently, and we were talking about this, and I said to him, Dean Chibley, you said something to me a long time ago that stuck in my head, and that is that by definition, Buffalo is an affordable city. And that's so to build affordable housing is only really a byproduct of, or the need for affordable housing becomes a byproduct when gentrification, as you term it, takes hold, because then all of a sudden properties aren't affordable in that neighborhood. So you have to, in some way, shape, or form, create a new market. You've accomplished that, Rocco Termini, and Signature Development, through the creative use of tax credits and also obviously being able to look down the road and gambling that a neighborhood is going to turn around. And I just wonder if there's anything else in our last minute here that you want to leave our listeners with in terms of thoughts that you may have about, first of all, how they might be able to get in touch with you if they're interested in something you've talked about here today, or whether or not there's something you might want to say to them.
Well, we're always looking for new startups, Peter. They're hard to find, and people reach out to us, and then we're able to design space for them. So we're always looking for small little companies that are looking for space that's difficult to find. And we'd be more than happy to help them out.
And how would they reach you?
They can call me. I'll give you my cell phone number.
Okay.
861-5385. And you could call me anytime, because I always answer that phone.
Rocco Termini, President of Signature Development, Buffalo, LLC, thank you very much for being with us this morning.
You're welcome.
I'd like to thank our listeners. We'll be back again next week at the same time. And remember, when it comes to real estate, all of upstate is Hunt Country.